Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here, kicking off your work week, Monday, October 4th. 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. First Monday in the month of October, or Octubre, as they say it in some places. We're going to have a lot of fun this Monday morning. I had a great, great weekend. It was kind of a laid-back weekend. I really did not do anything out of the ordinary or take any trips, but just did some fun things. Went and visited with some relatives that I don't see very often. Went out to dinner. I did go check out the new Aldi, which, now, I am not what you call a regular Aldi shopper. I went there last night, and Angie loves Aldi, so I went with her last night to check out the new Aldi, which I believe opened up last Thursday, I was told, September the 30th. So I went to Aldi last night, and I did buy a few things. They have good prices. But I think everybody was expecting a bigger change. The floor was not even remodeled. I think they've redone the walls. I think they repainted the walls, and they moved a few things in the store, shelf-wise, and they did put in some new freezers. I think the ones in the wall are the same, but they did put in some of these new freezers in one of the aisles closest to the frozen food section, and now the produce is right at the front of the store when you walk in. But other than that, I really did not see a whole lot of difference. I think they have two registers now. I think they redid that part of the store, which gives you more aisle space. The registers kind of face each other now. So, well, I'll tell you what really is bringing this on, because they were out of whipped cream last night. I went in there and I bought some Colby cheese, and I bought some, what else did I buy? Colby cheese, salad, and cottage cheese. And I wanted to make my cottage cheese dessert. Well, for a long time, Aldi has not had sugar-free Jell-O. Now, I'm not really sure why this is. They have regular Jell-O. They only have one type of Jell-O. It says they have strawberry and orange, but really all they have is orange, and they have no sugar-free. But I've overlooked that for a long time now, because that's been going on for years now. But they've always had whipped cream. Aldi has always had whipped cream. And last night, they had no whipped cream. Now, maybe they were just out. Maybe they had a run because it was Sunday. But no whipped cream and no small bags of shredded cheese for the top of a salad. Which I thought that was odd. And maybe it's just the store just opening and people getting used to things, but that was my experience with Aldi last night. But I do have to say the cashier was very nice, and I could not find the Jell-O because I wanted to check and see if they had sugar-free Jell-O, and the gentleman I talked to was very nice. So the people were very hospitable, but it just, not a whole lot of change, but I guess they were only closed down for a month, so how much change can come in a month? Has anybody been out to Aldi in the last few days since they opened back up? Find it any different, better, worse? Any thoughts? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So that pretty much was my weekend. I worked on a few projects. I'll tell you a funny story. A few years ago, we're all into these family histories now. And a few years ago, I started kind of half working on a family history and of my grandmother's family, because she really didn't know a whole lot about them. So I was working on this history of my grandmother's family a few years ago, and one day I get this call out of the blue from a woman I had never known or met in my life, but apparently she was some kind of shoestring relative, and she was doing a family history. Now, how she got a hold of me or how this came about, I really have no idea. I don't think I've ever asked her that. But at that time, about 5 or 6 years ago, she promised to send me a picture of some of my ancestors. And I got the note from her, but I never got the picture. And I never really thought anything of it, and I just kind of went on about my daily life. Well, Saturday, I was kind of going through some things, and I found this bit of notebook paper with this woman's name and phone number on it. So I decided, well, I'm going to give her a call and see whatever happened with that picture. And I called her up, and she did remember me, and she still has the picture. So here, 5 or 6 years later, I guess she's finally going to send the picture. So that'll be a lot of fun. And when that comes in, I'll have to tell you about that and see how that goes. So that was fun. And other than that, really not a whole lot went on this past weekend. It was kind of a gloomy type of a weekend. Showers on and off, and really not what I would call a weekend to do a whole lot of fun stuff. Now, I do have something funny to talk about, and I really don't know if this is true or not. So I'm kind of saying this and prefacing it with the idea that I really don't know if this is true. But Friday night, I was doing the show with Sean and Angie, and Sean and I got into a conversation on our favorite subject of Jimmy Crumb. And as people who have listened to this show over the years know, we do not like Jimmy Crumb. We had an outing with Jimmy. I'm sure there are people who like Jimmy. So I don't want to say that he was totally an awful guy, but Jimmy and I just, it was not a good night, and I don't want to get into the particulars because I've done that before, but in any event, we were talking about Jimmy Crumb on Friday night, and the conversation that came up on the show was, is there a statue of Jimmy Crumb in the lobby of Channel 4? And Sean said there was, and I said there wasn't. Because we had been down there about 10 years ago when Ben Gelber celebrated an anniversary, and I interviewed Ben at Channel 4, and I don't remember seeing any Jimmy Crumb statue, but Sean thought he did. So, on the air Friday night, we thought we would settle this bet, and we would just call Channel 4 and ask him if there was a Jimmy Crumb statue in the lobby. And if anybody listened last night, or last Friday night, they would have heard this. So we call up, and we get some guy on the phone. As a matter of fact, I have no idea who it was. I don't even think he said his name. So I said, is there a statue of Jimmy Crumb in the lobby there? And he didn't even know who Jimmy Crumb was. And that's okay. You know, Jimmy Crumb has now been... Jimmy Crumb went to his reward, I should say, about 12 years ago. So Jimmy Crumb's been gone for a while. And I can see how people would not remember him, because prior to that, I think he went off the air like late 93. So he's almost been off the air 30 years now. So I can understand why people would not know who he was. And also, if there is no statue in the lobby of WCMH, then he would be easily forgettable. So, this guy had no idea who he was, who worked at Channel 4. He said there was no statue in the lobby. And that pretty much was the conversation we had with him. That was pretty much it. So, that was it. We went on. No problems. Well, I don't know what happened after this guy got off the phone, but I think he, I don't know, maybe was embarrassed that he did not know who Jimmy Crumb was, or he thought we were making fun of him. I really don't know. I'm not that deep into what happened, but he did send me a picture. I don't even know how he knew who I was, but I got an email on Friday night, Saturday morning, from this guy who sent me a picture of a plaque. Now, I don't even know where the plaque is, but I guess there's a plaque somewhere down there at Channel 4. Not a statue, but a plaque of Jimmy Crumb. And he also wanted to let me know that there were a lot of pictures of Jimmy Crumb in the news department or something like that. And I guess he was not happy that I did not identify myself who I was when I called. Well, I think I did say that I was calling from Marion, and I don't think he asked me who I was. I could replay the tape. But in any event, I'm sorry if he felt embarrassed, and nobody was trying to make fun. We just really wanted to know if there was a statue in the lobby, and we were trying to figure that out before we went off the air on Friday night. So that's that story. Sorry if he felt embarrassed. I don't even think people knew who he was because I don't think he ever said his name. But it's funny how people get very... people have a thin skin nowadays. Have you noticed this? I really think people have a very thin skin. I don't know what was wrong with asking if there was a statue. I had no idea who I was going to get on the phone, and I certainly had no idea that... this guy would not know who Jimmy Crumb was. That was news to me. Let's put it that way. Okay, let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, telephone caller to the second largest city in the Midwest media market, production assistant people.
Yeah, I guess he got, well, he may be have been a reporter. I don't know what he was, to be honest.
He sounds kind of like an intern or a stringer. They call him a stringer, right? Like a
well,
younger person.
I don't. Did you think we were rude to him?
No, you were very nice. In Ohio, you only have to get permission to record from
one person.
Put somebody on the air. But, you know, it's a TV station. He should be impressed that you called and talked to him and... He should know who Jimmy Crumb is. Honestly, you know, I respect all people in media, regardless of whether or not I agree with them or like them. I was never a Crumb fan. I never met the guy. I could see how he could be a little acerbic in person. You can kind of see that sometimes, what you might expect in person versus on the air. But you had the direct experience with him. He didn't really sound like a very pleasant person, whereas Ben Gelber... I've never heard anything but great things about the guy. He's also a great weatherman.
Very nice man. I was just surprised.
Personalities, and I guess you might think, you know, Ben Galbraith's cerebral, geeky. I mean, a bit like myself, so I feel like I have a connection to the guy. And you kind of think, and as a weatherman, you know, and he's very well educated. I think I mentioned that before. And with Jimmy Crumb, I mean, a sports guy, I guess they're going to be opinionated. But you would kind of think, I mean, with the way that he dressed and just his nature on the air, you might expect a really nice guy, but apparently a little bit different than that.
So you might have been.
You know what these people are like when the camera gets shut off.
Well, but he might have been nice. All I know is my experience with him was not pleasant, and it was funny because it kind of exposed some things to me that I was not aware of, because I did speak to Doug Adair, and Doug Adair, a matter of fact, came up here and did a show with me after the Jimmy Crumb incident, and he also spoke to, well, we all know how Jimmy is, so we just kind of overlook it. And then I had a dinner, and I'll never reveal this name, but with a very well-known Columbus, Ohio news personality who told me during a dinner, because it was pretty close to that time that I had that experience with Jimmy Crumb, that I just said, I don't know why he was that way. And this person relayed to me how they were at a shoot one day, and it was for Recreation Unlimited, and Jimmy wanted to know when there was only a few minutes left in the spot so he could fake cry. Now, that sounds unbelievable, and it sounds unbelievable.
Fake cry? What were they filming?
Easter Seals.
No, I mean, that's when you film a TV show, fake cry. I mean, it's a serious topic and a serious cause.
That's all this person told me.
Some people just don't cry. It's understandable, and some people will cry easily, and many men will cry. I don't see a male versus female issue on that.
I guess he wanted to show emotion because he thought that would bring in more dollars. So he wanted to know when to do that.
That's an insult to the viewers. Some people, and this is male or female, just don't cry. Doesn't mean you don't feel strongly about it. He did so much charity work. And yeah, I just kind of wonder about that guy.
Yeah, but all I want to say is, I did not witness that firsthand. That came from I was having dinner at Bob Evans with a very well-known Columbus television personality, and they relayed that story to me. I did not see that in person. But it was interesting that after I had that bad incident with Jimmy, that Doug Adair, who worked with him very closely, kind of had the personality of, oh, don't worry about it, that's just Jimmy. And this other person, who is very well known, relayed the story of him fake crying. So I don't think I was the only person who had a bad experience with him.
Yeah, it would seem. You don't know. And you like to think of these news people, yeah, we know they're busy. We know sometimes there are situations where they have to deal with unpleasantries, but I guess you'd be beyond his colorful clothing and just all of his charity work, his support for our local teams. You wonder about the man inside.
Well, I just think his ego probably got inflated over the years, and I think... anybody who wears coats like that is obviously trying to call attention to themselves.
I would think he was certainly a flashy character. And, you know, with Ben Gelber, he's again, somebody you probably could sit down with a cup of coffee and talk to all day, but he's very serious about the weather and serious about the area. I think he does it in the more subdued way. And it's someone you can respect. How could you not like the guy? I mean, he is a great weatherman. He's been there around so long. I mean, he started young. He's only early 60s.
Well, but you know what? There are a lot of people who had great experiences with Jimmy Crum. I believe Colleen Marshall is on record as saying Jimmy Crum was like a father to her. Now, that could have been because she's a female, too. Not any bad read into that. But, you know, maybe he felt fatherly to young women in the business. I know he had a daughter who was also a performer. So maybe that was it, and maybe he just did not get along with the males very well. I don't know what it was.
I didn't tell about the guy. You know, I never really liked, you know, I'm not a big Buckeyes person, but I certainly understand their importance in the community and the other teams, you know, Reds and Bengals and the other regional teams. I've never just a tremendous fan of the guy on the air, and I thought his garb was unflattering. But again, he is a colorful character, and like the colorful characters, I mean, like your little obsession there, Mr. Mustache, they're going to elicit a strong reaction.
Well, I guess
positive or negative, or if it's mixed. I mean, you know, Geraldo, it's a mixed reaction, but I admire his staying power. I admire his intelligence. Again, he's pushing 80, and he's still going strong.
Well,
he looks good. I mean, he looks like he's ready to roll every day.
Yeah, but I guess...
You have to respect that as a fellow broadcaster.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I just think that my problem with Jimmy Crum and my problem... Well, I really don't have a problem with Geraldo, to be honest, because I don't even know if he knows any of this is going on. But my problem with people like that, who don't answer their own phones, who have people in front of them, who have kind of a nasty disposition. Everybody puts their pants on the same way. Broadcasting is not brain surgery. And just because people know who you are shouldn't inflate your ego to the point to where you think you're above everybody else. So I tend to get put off by those type of people, because I guess I'm never starstruck. I've never been starstruck by anybody. There are people who I've liked, but I've never been starstruck. So these people, they're not icons. They're not idols. They're not saving lives. They're not doing that. So I don't admire them in the way that I would admire a doctor or somebody going through a terminal illness or somebody in their community who does things without any credit to make the community a better place. It's broadcasting. It doesn't make you a king or a god. And that's why this guy getting upset at Channel 4, well, I'm sure he did feel maybe, I guess, silly that he didn't know who Jimmy Crum was, but that's not my fault.
I would think you should know about the history of your station, and it wasn't that long ago.
Well, whatever. I just want to be honest.
I mean, So this email you got, are you going to tell us a little bit about it? Was he upset?
He sent me a picture. He must have taken a picture with his phone of this plaque, which apparently he had never seen until Friday night. So he took a picture of this plaque of Jimmy Crum. I don't know where it is. And then he also let me know that there are pictures in the news department of him. And he was upset that I did not identify myself when I called. But to be honest with you, I think I did say, I'm calling from Marion. I had no idea. This guy didn't know who Jimmy Crum was. I didn't think he would know who I was. And we weren't out to make fun of him. All we did was ask him about the statue.
Yeah, so it would appear.
So that he was upset about that. He was upset that
when he said, like, I heard that there's a show in Marion that has a national reach, that was impressive. I mean, he's heard about you, which is
interesting. That's nice.
He's heard about you, Scott, but not about Jimmy Crum.
Right. Well, then there's the irony of it, I guess.
That was right. The minute he said that, it's like, you are well known as this supposedly little station. I mean, it's not little when you have the kind of guests, including in-person guests, that we do. I said, how many times has a recent former governor stopped by Channel 4? Well, probably a few times, but that's a TV station in the second largest city, not the second largest market, but second largest city limits population in the Midwest.
Well, I guess
it's the capital city, and former Governor Strickland, I assume he drove a bit to get to Marion versus going to Channel 4. So take a look there at where are these people's priorities?
I guess in the end, I apologized to him, and I wanted to do it publicly on the air because that's where I called him, was on the air. If he feels bad, if he feels I did anything wrong to him, I apologize. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so we're in good graces then with Channel 4.
No, I don't think we were ever in bad graces. I'm just saying if he feels that was wrong, he's certainly entitled to his opinion, and I apologize. And I apologized in the email.
I mean, Ben is on regularly. Do you think you and Ben are going to talk about it next time he takes the airwaves? I'm sure Ben found out about it. I'm sure they asked.
I think it's very
much called out of the blue and asked about Jimmy Crum.
No, I think it's a silly little thing. And I just think he probably thought that we were going to make some kind of joke of it, the fact that this guy did not know who Jimmy Crum was and he works at the station. It's not surprising to me that he didn't know who Jimmy Crum was. Why would you know that? He hasn't been there for 30 years.
Did you think Ben found out about it?
They
talk during their coffee breaks and stuff. I'm sure that there's a little buzzing around Channel 4 about this little event. I mean, I listened. It was quite entertaining. The guy answered, and it's like, the minute he said, well, I heard that there's some radio show in Marion with a national appeal, it's like, well, goodness sakes, we are famous and on the map, but this guy doesn't know who Jimmy Crum is.
Well, no, I don't know that there were a lot of people who worked with him, like Ben Gelber, like Colleen Marshall, Jimmy Crum I'm talking about, who are there, and I'm sure they just probably filled the guy in, and then he felt bad, and then he realized who he was talking to, although I think I did say, you'll have to go listen to the tape, Adam, I think I said I'm calling for Miriam.
Yeah, I didn't think you did, but I'm gonna listen again. I don't think you said you were calling for Marion. You just kind of called out of the blue, but I want to double check.
I was
kind of surprised that he answered and just started talking. I mean, whereas you also called WTAM and then it was transferred to WLW, kind of like the flagship station of what was.
And nothing went on there. I don't think anything was.
And although WLW has many interesting people, including, of course, Gary Burbank, former WLW.
Well, just the point to be made is, the point to be made in this is I checked this a long time ago in Ohio. If you're making a phone call on the air between two people, as long as one person knows it's being put on the air, then it's okay. I knew it was being put on the air.
I mean, it's a TV station. What do you expect? We're the media.
Yeah, he should be
impressed that this station that he's heard of in Marion, he probably doesn't even know where Marion is. I mean, I would say more people, let's say he's 20, 25 years old. He seemed kind of young. I would say more people probably have heard of at least Jimmy Crumb's legacy, and you know, unless they moved around a bit.
Well, maybe he'll learn about it.
They may have heard of Marion, but they may not know where Marion is.
Well, maybe it's a good deed, because maybe he'll learn about it now, and that'll be that.
So there is a plaque of Jimmy Crumb then in...
I'm not sure where, but yes, somewhere. There's a plaque somewhere.
My other question was, 50 years from now, in the lobby of WWGH, who will have a plaque? Who will be on the plaque?
I don't know.
I think we should have a plaque of Charlie. That we certainly should do that.
I don't know. I think
Charlie. Everybody loves Charlie. He didn't have the controversy that someone like Jimmy Crumb did. No, I'm all for a plaque of Charlie. We have that nice picture of him when he was like around 40 years old. Remember, I asked like who that was because he looked a little different. That's nice. But I wouldn't mind a plaque of him. I would be very, very supportive of that.
Well, I don't know.
Let's get cracking on that. Maybe a plaque of Charlie.
I don't know how much a plaque costs. This was like a bust of Jimmy Crumb. It was his face, and it had some writing on it. I don't know what something like that costs.
Yeah, Jimmy didn't have a lot of hair, so if I wasn't too complicated, he didn't have to do the hair. Right?
And I'm not even sure it's in the lobby. I don't know. I doubt it is in the lobby because...
Next time you talk to Ben, so you want to do it in person. Do your little Thursday YouTube. First, invite Ben to Marion, and if he can't come, just go up to Channel 4 and look for the bust. I mean, Ben probably could tell you. I mean, he's there every day, right?
So I'm sure this guy knows where it is.
He's a down-to-earth guy. He would tell you about the any Jimmy Crumb legacies over there.
Well, that's... Yeah, and... onward and upward, I guess.
Okay, that's all I had for you.
So okay.
I'm going to get more coffee and keep listening. Have a good day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, and I didn't mean to spend that much time on that, but that's that. And, you know, it's funny because I really don't feel bad about the whole situation because I don't feel anything was done wrong. But, I'm one of these people that if somebody else feels something was done wrong to them, I want to apologize. And I want to do it on the air. I don't want to do it behind the scenes. So whoever that guy was, I can't remember his name right now, but I'm sorry if you felt put upon. And I'm glad now that you know about Jimmy Crumb. Okay. Now we're going to do this. This is going to be lightning fast this morning because, frankly, I'm getting tired of this. Because I want to get onto something fun here this morning. And now we've blown through about a half hour this morning talking about this Jimmy Crumb thing. Okay, here we go. Look how simple this is going to be today with the Geraldo Journal. 10-4-21 did not hear from Geraldo. That's it. So, that's the Geraldo Journal for today. Because, frankly, I know people are getting sick of this. I'm getting sick of this. Because if he doesn't want to respond, that's his business. We'll go right along. Now, something else I did this weekend that I found fascinating was I watched a documentary on Crosley. I guess I should say. I was trying to think of how to phrase that. Crosley and the radio industry and what it meant to Ohio. Because down in Cincinnati is where it all started. This is the 100th anniversary year of Crosley really getting involved in the radio industry in a big way with WLW. 1921 it would have been. But what a history with the big superpower transmitter and the nation station and all that. And I'm going to do some more on this, but I just want to tell you, I've got a whole page of history on this here, 5 or 6 pages on Crosley and what went on down in the southern part of Ohio in Cincinnati. What an amazing job that was down there. Ruth Lyons and Midwestern Hayride and Bill Nimmo and Nick Clooney, George Clooney's father, Rosemary Clooney was down there. Just an amazing, amazing legacy in the things that went on at WLW. So, and I think maybe most interesting of all is the transmitter, the superpower transmitter, which was I don't the reason I'm not giving a lot of these answers is probably throughout the week I'm probably going to use some of this as trivia. So I just wanted to say the Crosley history down there, Joe Nuxall and Gary Burbank and Marty Brenneman. What a great, great group. Does anybody have any remembrances of WLW and the when it was WLW? Not so much now. It's still a great station. But when WLW back in the, I guess it would have been 30s, 40s, 50s, was really the nation's radio station, that they had so much power that they were blasting into Canada and South America. And it was even said that your fence posts, if you lived close enough to the transmitter, could pick up WLW, and that people really did get WLW in their teeth fillings. It was so powerful, if you were close enough to the transmitter. It's a fascinating story. And also that Crosley, who owned WLW at that time, was in the radio making business. And there's a whole separate story involved there with how he made radios affordable for people. And that was Crosley. So not only was he on the manufacturing side of the radio business and television, but he was also on the programming side with WLW, making it the nation station. This Crosley character was really ahead of his time. So I learned a little bit about that over the weekend and found it fascinating, the WLW stuff. But of course, I'm fascinated with radio in general, the history of radio. And Jeannie Evers sent over another batch of great stuff involving the history of Marion Radio, pictures and documents that date back to the beginning of radio here in Marion, which is 81 years old now. And one day I'm going to go through that here on the air and talk about some of those memories as I have the pictures and the information now, thanks to Jeannie Evers. So that is that. And we'll get into that as the week goes on. Now, Monday. Here it is, Monday. We're all back. It's October, so I thought, let's have some fun. Now, something we did probably over a year ago now, and we had a lot of fun with this, like we do with the Family Feud and like we do with trivia, is we did movie quotes, famous movie quotes, and I would give the movie quote, and you would have to tell me what movie that movie quote is from. And I thought, well, let's do that again this morning. Now, I don't remember which ones I did a year ago, and I don't remember which ones I did not do, but I've got 100 of them here. So let's just run through them. And if you know the movie that the quote is from, let me know, and I will put you in a drawing. And at the end of the program this morning, I'll either give you a pair of tickets to the Columbus Zoo, which are good for Boo at the Zoo, or the Zoo Lights coming up. They're good through the first of the year. Or the Wilds, which are good through the end of this year. So, here we go. Here is the first movie quote. "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn." Now, that's not exactly the quote, but for the purposes of radio and the auspices that we are in right now, that's going to be the quote. "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn." What movie did that come from? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What movie did that famous quote come from? "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn." Wouldn't it have been nice if they did say darn? Change the whole complexion of the movie. Go ahead, caller.
"Gone with the Wind."
"Gone with the Wind." Clark Gable, 1939, that movie was made.
Great movie.
Unbelievable. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, we've got Marion. Yes, it was "Gone with the Wind," 1939. Now, here's another one for you. "I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse." I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. What movie was that? Now, that was a very popular movie as well. "I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse." What movie is that from? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what movie that is from? "I'm going to make him an offer He can't refuse. Now, that's a funny one because that's been repeated and repeated and repeated year after year. Go ahead, caller.
Godfather.
The Godfather, the original Godfather movie, 1972.
I'm on a roll.
You're on a roll this morning. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. All right, Mary gets in again. It was The Godfather, 1972. What a big movie that was. Okay, here's kind of a long quote. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead, a bum, which is what I am. What movie is that from? You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. What movie is that from? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So far, Mary is in twice this morning. She got the first two movie quotes of the morning. Does anybody know what classic movie that quote came from? Kind of a long one. And it is coulda, C-O-U-L-D-A. You don't understand, I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. What famous movie is that from? Well, this might have stumped people. Now, this is an older movie. Now, not quite as old as Gone with the Wind, but this is an older movie, and maybe people have forgotten this quote as time has gone on. Does anybody know what movie that is from? Now, I bet you in this case, people know the quote, but they might not know what movie that's from. I bet that is probably the case here. They probably know the quote, but they don't know what the name of the movie is. So, does anybody? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, I'm going to give you two here. I'm going to give you another one. Now, the next one is so simple. It's just going to be a race to the phone on the next one. Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. What movie is that from? Go ahead, caller.
That was Mr. Marlon Brando, wasn't it? Streetcar Named Desire?
It was Marlon Brando. You have it, saying it to Rod Steiger, but not Streetcar Named Desire. I think people know this quote, but they don't know the name of the movie.
Really?
Yeah, not Streetcar Named Desire.
Wow, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Yes, it is. Marlon Brando said the quote, but it was not Streetcar Named Desire, and I think that's probably why this quote is hard. Everybody's heard the quote, and we even know who said it. Marlon Brando said it, but the title of the movie is not so popular. Go ahead, caller.
The one is The Wizard of Oz.
If anybody would have gotten that wrong, I would have just discontinued the game. Yeah, 1939, Wizard of Oz. What's your name?
Ashley.
Hey, Ashley, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
How's Monday for you?
Not bad, just getting started.
All right.
I'm hoping I'll be able to get my tickets today by 5.
But. Yeah, I'll tell you, if you're not here by 5, just call before 5 and make sure to let Linda know that you're on your way.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye. Ashley won some tickets last Friday, and she's in again this morning with the famous Wizard of Oz, quote, Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. The Wizard of Oz, 1939. Okay, we'll add another one here. Well, we've still got the first one here. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. What movie's that from? And the new one will add, here's looking at you, kid. Here's looking at you, kid. What movie is that from? Now, that might be, I think we all know who said that. I think we all know that quote. But do we know the name of that movie? That might have the same difficulty that the other quote has. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here. Go ahead, caller.
Here's Looking at You, Kid, is Casablanca.
Casablanca.
And that's now, my husband's favorite movie.
Now, do you think that Humphrey Bogart saying that is more popular than the movie itself?
Probably.
I think so.
And the other one is Play It Again, Sam, but she doesn't say that.
Oh, she doesn't even say that?
Thinks that she says that.
So that's not actually said in the movie.
Right.
So that's not going to end up on my list here.
It shouldn't.
If it does, we'll have to check that out.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Mary gets in again. Yes, Here's Looking at You, Kid, is Casablanca, 1942, that movie was made. Okay, let's add another one here. Well, here's a famous quote. Go ahead, make my day. How many people have said that? Go ahead, caller.
Well, I think it's On the Riverfront.
You're very, very close. Not on the riverfront. But you're close.
Gosh, I had that and then I said the wrong thing. Well, I'll see if I can get it back.
If you get it back, call us back.
I'm having a senior moment here. Okay.
Watch it, and I hope people aren't Googling, because this is fun to do without Google.
Yeah, it is. And I saw that movie. It's really good with Stella. But I thought it was On the Waterfront. But,
Rod Steiger's in that movie? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, give us a call back.
Okay.
You're very close.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Very close there. Our listener, our friend this morning is very close there. The one we just added, go ahead and make my day. Now, people say that all the time, and I bet you that quote is more famous than the movie title itself. We might have some trouble getting that one. Go ahead, caller.
Well, it was Waterfront. Would you give that to that lady, whoever she was?
Well, you know, that's very kind. But isn't that funny how even the title of... I bet people don't even watch that movie anymore, but they know that quote.
Well, here's the crazy thing. I've seen The Waterfront, and I've also seen the other one just over the past year, because I watch the old movie channels. I swear it was from the first one, but... Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah. Rod Steiger, it's that famous scene in the taxi cab.
Well, they were both good movies.
Oh, and Rod Steiger, he's not held like Marlon Brando, but I think he should. Rod Steiger was great.
Yeah.
Great actor. Hey, thank you. We'll get her to call back in and get her name.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, it was not On the Riverfront. It was On the Waterfront. So call back in if you said Riverfront, because our friend there helped us out, and now we're going to give the credit to you, but I got to get your name. So call back in here. It was On the Waterfront. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. It was On the Waterfront. So the caller that said Riverfront, call back in so I can get your name in the competition. And then our other quote here is, go ahead and make my day. Who said that? Go ahead, caller.
Dirty Harry.
Not Dirty Harry, no.
Make my day.
Make my day is not Dirty Harry. Now see, now isn't that interesting? I think, well, I don't know. Go ahead, make my day is not Dirty Harry. So, see, there's another thinker. Yeah, call back. I know you're out there listening. If you said on the... I want to get your name in this. On the Riverfront. For On the Waterfront. Okay, go ahead, caller.
It's Mary White. And I thought I said On the Waterfront.
I knew that you had it. When you said Riverfront, I thought, oh, she's just doing what I do all the time and missed... inserting a word.
That's it.
Yeah.
I knew it was On the Waterfront. It's Mary White.
We got you, Mary. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Mary White is in. It was On the Waterfront. I had a feeling that she was too close not to have had that. Okay. Let's take one more call. We're going to do this after the break, so don't go anywhere. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, go ahead and make my day. It was Clint Eastwood.
Well, not according to this list.
Oh, yeah.
I'll check it out during the break, and if I'm wrong here, I'll fix
it. That
was
the actor. I don't know his character name.
Oh, okay. But it wasn't Dirty Harry. I can say that.
No.
Okay. We'll come back in 15 minutes here. Back in 15 minutes, so far, Mary White, Mary Bickley, and Ashley in the competition, but we're going to do this all next hour, then have the drawing right before 10 o'clock this morning. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp, 10:10 till 11 a.m. this morning, and then Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 today. Be back in 15 minutes. Larry, something happened. We're getting some feedback here. A play has been played. I had my back to it. What was that?
It was a double down the right field line for Jose Ramirez. The cold is coming off the lake. Ramirez is doing well, and as near as I can tell, we want to send out from Smuckers a very 108th happy birthday to Billy Goat Charlie, who today celebrates 108 years old as the Cleveland Indians are pulling out of the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. Happy birthday, Billy Goat.
Happy